Hello and welcome to Tithely Backstage, where we dive into all things product and churches. Today, we're going to be diving into some great topic. We're really excited for it. Your hosts for today are Dan Ermler, John Holtkamp, and my name is Casey. We're all on the product team here at Tithely. And so as we're going to jump into this, one of the things that we're going to do every episode is have a question, just like a quick shoot, here we go question. So today, before we jump into our topic of community groups, we're going to start with you, Dan. The question of the day is this. Can you give us a 30-second example of an awkward experience of the community group, and then maybe as well your favorite moment, like this great kind of opportunity to share, learn, et cetera?
Oh my goodness, 30 seconds. Me and my wife did community groups for about 5 years at a church, and we absolutely love them. Awkward times. So you get a very diverse group of people who come to community groups, and we had these people who loved their fur babies. They loved their cats, and they were fur babies. Like, these were their children. And so I got a couple over here that's just like, I mean, their dogs and their cats literally are their children. And this guy is sharing this like, he's just a jokester. And so he's just sharing a story about how much he hates cats. And he's like, there's one time this cat, right? He was talking about how in Indiana it gets really cold, like freezing cold. And he's like, there's this cat. And he's like, it was going inside and I wasn't going to let it inside. So I left it outside. And when I came back, it was frozen. Like, it was completely frozen. Wow. It just kind of fell over. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking over at these people, and like, he's like telling the story. Like, it's the funniest thing, of this cat outside. And these people are like mortified. Like, yeah. So it was like, it was a tough time. As far as just special time, I mean, you deal with everything in community groups from, right. Sure. I can remember there was a couple who was really struggling to have kids, and it was so neat to having been praying for them for years, for them to finally have children. There's another woman who, came to community group. She's quiet through the whole thing. At the end of it, she kind of raised her hand. She just found out. She said, I have cancer. And she, I mean, you could tell, like, she came in and it was a very different vibe. And as a group, we got to get around her and pray over her. And now, I mean, years later, she's cancer free, doing great. But those are neat moments. Those are special moments to be able to really see God work in just very unique. And he just shows up in just powerful ways.
It's a killer example. Absolutely. Man, because like, thinking through, there's times where things happen. Like, I haven't had obviously that cancer moment. But like times where you go through a really tough situation and you don't, who do you talk to like find that out. And then potentially even the day of, or within a day, you know, I have this group to go to, and this is the group I should talk to. Like, this is the thing I should do. Like, I obviously get to give my example here in a second, but I can't think of a better example of like, horrible thing happens and I have the people I need to talk to about it. Like, I know exactly what to do. And I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, community groups are powerful. I've got a funny situation, and as well a just like those great moments that happen from doing life together. I've always loved that saying of life change happens in circles, not rows. Of course, the importance of gathering together for church, but then knowing each other, praying for each other, what's going on in each other's lives happens in circles and community, an intentional Jesus-focused community. But during the prayer point of our, actually just a few weeks ago, my wife and I hosted a community group of young adults in our home. And during that, kind of towards the end, the prayer, and I always take notes on my phone as like people are sharing different prayer requests, because, you know, my memory sucks. And I just completely botched the name of the person I was praying for. And it's not like getting a letter wrong. It was, I'm trying to remember the exact person. I think instead of David, I said like Frank or something along those lines. And so just like so confident. And then at the end of the prayer, right, say amen, everyone looks up and just starts bursting into laughter. And I'm still none the wiser what just happens. And then it was just one of those embarrassing moments. But absolutely so many awesome stories of life change, of community, of people opening up and sharing what's going on and just seeing God move. Those moments of prayer, those moments of answering prayer, of coming back the next week of, hey, you guys prayed for this and like God showed up in this way. So just real quick for you, John, any kind of quick 30-second funny and maybe even an embarrassing moment of that you've experienced as part of the community group?
Jessica and I love icebreakers. Like, even we had our life group last night, Jessica loves the icebreakers. By the way, last night's life group question was, if you were stuck listening to one band for the rest of your life, what would that band be? We're not answering that now, but through that, we'd say things like, what's your favorite present you've ever gotten around Christmas time? And one time we asked that question, and there was this older dude, and he was like, well, I've never really gotten a great Christmas present. I didn't even have underwear as a kid. And it just got darker and darker and darker from there. So it was like supposed to be the most uplifting question anybody's ever asked. Like, let's talk about Christmas today. And it just, and someone else piled on with him. And it just became like the darkest conversation ever, where it's like, what is wrong with everybody? Like, this is a happy time. So that's the thing, something I always reflect on.
I got beat on Christmas morning and then I had to go work in a coal mine.
So, which that still sounds horrible, but compared to your cat story, Dan, I'm a little disturbed still just hearing that. I wasn't there to experience
it. It was like one of those moments where you're just like, shut up, shut up, shut up. Like, you're inside. You're like sitting there, you're like, please, please. And you know, just total lack of awareness is telling the story. Like, everybody in there hates cats. Now, I'm not a big cat person, like, to be completely honest. I'm not, and I probably offended half the audience. I like dogs, people. That's normal. That's a normal thing to like.
Let me defend you. I'm going to interrupt you and defend you. I was with Dan about a month or two ago, and there was this cat outside crying named Baby, which is already weird. And Dan just kept trying to help this cat. So he can tell you all he doesn't care. But he tried to keep this cat alive because it was freezing outside. And I wasn't trying to help the cat. And I love cats. So continue, Dan. I just want to defend you here. When you say this.
Dan's got a soft heart. Yeah. Biggest takeaway.
Yeah. Well, he won't kill a cat in the cold. So the story he just told, that's not good because I watched it.
I'm not a cat murderer. Wow. First episode, we were coming out the gate hot.
There we go.
Cat murders. But get us back on track, Casey.
Those are great stories. It's so cool to hear different people's experiences with community groups. I know lots of us, those of you joining us right now, have had great experiences, maybe some awkward moments that we can laugh about, but also great life-changing moments. And it's community groups that we kind of want to talk about, then transition a little bit into church apps as well, and some of the great tools and functionality in regards to products that there is around that. So the first question for us to kind of dive into is just, again, around community groups, the value they provide. And so starting with you, Dan, if you could pick one item, knowing there's tons you can choose from, of course, but if there's one item, like, this is the value of why churches should focus on community groups, what would it be?
I'm a huge fan of community groups. I grew up in the Baptist circles, where they're really big on Sunday schools. And honestly, these come by lots of different names: cell groups, community groups, life groups, like, right? But what we're talking about is a group of peers you get together with and you practice out the Christian life, right? So you live in accountability. Yeah. So that's right. And however that looks, whenever that looks, some people do this on premise, some people do this in houses, right? One of the most interesting things that happened that I got to watch was women who, for the first time, were hearing their husbands talk about spiritual things. Huh. And it was shocking because you look at the husband would be like, yeah, you know, God's growing me. And the wife would just jaw dropped, right? Like, right? So it's one of those neat things. And I get it. Sometimes men have a tougher time, right, expressing some of these things. And so giving it a place where, hey, we can talk about spiritual things. We can be transparent about what God's doing in your heart. There's a moment maybe where you can pray. And it's wonderful to see the women see that in their husbands, right? And my hope is it doesn't just stay in a community group. It shows up at a dinner table, or it shows up in the living room later on. So I think it's a wonderful time to kind of foster that having spiritual conversations, you know, talking about how the Word of God is impacting your life. It's like a little laboratory, a little test that you should take out. And there's a lot of benefits, but that was just one that was always special. It was always neat to kind of see a wife's eyes kind of light up and just, wow, this is important. I'm seeing my husband spiritually lead.
Yeah, piggybacking on that Real fast, sorry. I think, like, something that's been on my heart a lot over these last few years is just, I'm a huge fan of Francis Chan. Obviously, we all have our own opinions. We all like different things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with Francis Chan. I mean, his perspective, but it's up to you how you feel about his perspective on church. But, like, his perspective on being saved and, like, just, like, mentorship, growing together and trying to be like Christ. Like, honestly, it's like changed. It's rocked my foundation. That I had an old youth pastor who was like, am I even saved? Like, it makes me think that way sometimes. And I think community groups is a great way where you don't necessarily know what that next step is as you read something like that. I think community group is a place for us all to come together and grow together in a way we desperately need to. Like, you need a mentor and you need a group. And like that group is such an important part, and it can be harder to understand the mentor part, but the group part, it's great that churches just have it there ready for you. So love what you said there, Dan, and got, even the way it got me thinking about that.
Yeah, so good. And so, John, transitioning maybe a little bit to the product side of it. So as we've kind of dove into kind of church apps and community groups, would you want to identify maybe some of the problems or some of the difficulties or that we see churches face when it comes to some of the administration behind community groups, facilitating, identifying leaders, training leaders, equipping with content, sign up, all that kind of stuff? Are there like a few key elements that are like kind of we hear a lot of from churches of, man, it's we love community groups, we value them, but due to A, B, and C, it's difficult to administrate them.
Man, I could tell you the biggest one that comes to mind, and this is administrator as well as the people in those community groups, is communication. That group chat. That group chat, holy schmoly, you all know what I'm talking about. That group chat where they're like, hey, we're starting this community group. Let's form a group chat through iMessage where, hey, those Android users are going to kind of break it for us now. Everyone's pinging everyone. And by the way, I have it hidden off camera here. Ooh, but I have just as many Android devices as iOS devices because of what I do in product. Yeah. But either way, whether it started Android or iOS, something gets broken and everyone's getting pinged by everyone. Everyone leaves the group. It breaks everything. And plus now also the church has no insight into what's happening. Up to you as a church, whether you think that you need to have insight or not. But I think just like the insight into the group, as well as the annoyance that people experience, the last thing you want to do is push people out. And oh boy, do I get pushed out a bit by those group chats. So if you want to know my number one thing, as you asked that question, Casey, that is absolutely my number one thing, is the communication within a group and the way that there just is not a great way to handle it. Sure, you can go with Group Me or something like that as well. I'll say there's all these kind of things out there, but it's very easy to go down a slippery slope of bad communication because it's convenient for one person, but inconvenient for the rest.
Absolutely. And I know like the one thing that I would highlight as well is just the need to have one source of truth. Like I said, my wife and I host a community group through our local church. And there isn't one source of truth. So like getting sent the content of the questions and then kind of building off of it based off of the Sunday sermon and giving that to the group ahead of time through a different source and all these, having a group chat in another area, because at least there are realities that everybody has iPhones except for one person, which means we can't use the iPhone group chat feature. But to have one source of truth for all of those things, it would be massive as an opportunity just to kind of facilitate and streamline a lot of that. So it's less work for the church. It's less work for the community group leader. And everything's way more simple for the people attending that group and engaging in that intentional community. And so a question for you, Dan, is that maybe what are some of the best ways when you talk about a custom church app? What are some of those key elements? I know we just kind of touched on a little bit as well, but what you highlight as like, man, this is amazing. This is such a great problem solver that the custom church app can do this, this, and this.
Yeah, I think just showing what groups are available. A lot of people don't know. And so having a place where you can go and see all of the active groups and seeing the ones you can jump in. Again, you put a decent description around those. You kind of know, hey, this is a group for me, right? I'm a young adult, or I'm a, you know, young family with kids, and you can kind of jump into. So just knowing all the active groups and, you know, where do they meet and what times they meet and what's coming up. So that's a huge part of what the apps can do, is we're basically showing them, you know, what's available. The communication aspect is the main point, but we're going to be adding quite a few things. So I want to be careful about how much I talk about the new stuff. We have a very aggressive roadmap as we're plugging the church apps into some different backend features that we can really start to light up more in the app. So we're really looking at how can we use the app to equip groups. Like I know personally, like as a group leader for a long time, I really struggled with just getting people to, you know, spend 5 minutes before groups to actually look over the questionnaire. Right? You're just like, we're going to go through this whole question. Can you fill it out? Can you not, you know? And so you always have that one guy who's just, he's winging it, you know, he's well winging it. So, I mean, just kind of goes wherever. And so being able to even just link out to the notes, or being able to communicate with people and say, hey, take 5 minutes. Would you, you know, it's in the morning of, hey, would you take a couple minutes and just review this during lunch break? And so you come really with your heart and your mind ready to engage. Because that's sometimes, I mean, people are sitting there and just feel bad because you're passing out the notes again, right? So we gave them to them on Sunday, and then like you didn't fill it out. It's still in your. It's nice that the kids use it in the back seats as, you know, a gum wrapper, and so you're like giving it to them again, and they're like looking at it, and you're like, oh my goodness. And so a part of having a really good discussion is people spending a little bit of time. And so I love the fact that within our app, you know, you do have that messaging, and you can be proactive about some of these, the communication that's going out. I think it's pretty helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned before, that group chat opportunity to engage, whether it is, here's the questions ahead of time, please look them over, that's the day of, or say if your group meets on Wednesday, Sunday afternoon, post-service, they get sent out. Even more practical stuff like, hey, who's bringing the dinner rolls for the soup? You guys do a meal as part of your community group, which is, I know we do, and we love that, that component of the community building around a meal as well. And then kind of talking about some of the complexities that churches can experience when it comes to a church app. That if you're a church, you don't have a church app, it can be a very difficult process at times. And I only say this because I was on staff at a church a few years ago where I was able to see this church go through the process of getting their own custom church app through their own means. And that this was a process that took 6+ months, thousands of dollars, all the complexity of the Apple Store, Android Store stuff. They ended up building an app that looked great, but was incredibly difficult to edit and change and update. So then the whole process had to start from the beginning. And it was another 6+ months and more thousands of dollars before they truly had a custom app that, in addition to community group, of course, there's events and live stream and prayer wall and the Bible incorporated, of course, and all that good stuff. And so that's where I think that it's so important to have an easily accessible custom church app that, especially when it comes to community groups, provides this one source of truth. So, John, I just want to give you space as well to kind of speak on that a little bit from a product perspective, the custom church app, and any other kind of little specific features when it comes to community groups that, like, man, this is an awesome item that we have that really solves a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a bit of history for anybody watching this, I came from a background of specifically focusing on church apps. So I spent nearly a decade of my life just focused on church apps. And you mentioned the building your own app. And Casey, you and I have talked about this in the past. I've never really dipped into this with you. But churches, like, it's so easy to be like, okay, I could pay a monthly fee, or I could avoid that and pay this one fee up front and like get it built or built it in-house. But there's never the thought about, but then what comes next?
Yeah, you can pay that really fee over and over and over again every 6 months as you build it.
Yeah, you build the big, you could pay the big fee every year, which is like 10 times more than the monthly fee, or like you're paying 10 times more than if you'd pay the monthly fee, probably more than that. And like, it's really sad to see churches.
Like, do you guys follow like DIY? This is how I feel. Like, I love, like, me and my wife will get really inspired by like DIY projects. We're like, look, you just take some old furniture and get some paint. And it's like for us, we've tried this a couple of times. We're like, okay, it's days of work. It's like, I've spent, you know, $400 on this couch I found on the side of the road. And it looks like a third grader did this project. And I'm just like, what happened?
Spot,
I think
that's what,
like, idealistically, you're on Pinterest. You're like, we can do this. We can make this work. And I think idealistically, you pull up a church app. You're like, how hard could this be? It's hard. It's very hard. It's difficult.
Yeah.
So just trust us. I mean, we work really hard on the church app. What are some of the features, John, that you, like, if you're looking, I mean, we're not the only app provider, but what are the things that you're like, man, if you're going to try to, if you're going to try to facilitate groups or really try to make your church app group centric, right? Where it really handles that need. What are the things that come to mind that you're like, you know, you really got to look for some of these type of features? Sorry, Casey. I think this is an interesting.
Please. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's a focus on making sure you can make groups front and center, right? In general, I hope you have the flexibility. Going down Casey's route, you don't have the flexibility of what he just mentioned there. But in general, you want to have the flexibility to be able to show the groups wherever someone needs to be able to see them. And like, I actually am a fan of redundancy to a point inside of an app where like in an app, you'll usually have a tab or a menu as well as like a home screen you drop onto. Yep. I like to have a redundancy of, if you want groups to be that front and center, make it a big thing on your home screen as well as a tab that's easily accessible. So that regardless of how someone sees an app, because you see, trust me, all of y'all here and anybody watching this, you all see apps different than everyone else sees it. And that's something that we get to have fun dealing with in product of, we see things the way we see it, but we also need to think as if we talk about personas. I literally spent an hour talking to Casey about personas before literally this call. And like, we need to think about the users.
What's a persona? Like, what's a persona? Because that's a weird word. Like we don't like most people don't use the word persona in a given day.
And since we're already derailing, let's take a step further. Last time I gave a sermon, I used the word extrapolate, and man, did I get called out for that. So I love using words like, everybody understands.
Is that in Deuteronomy? Like, is that an Old Testament word? Is that like dispensationalism?
So in a basic sense, a persona is to think about like the type of person, and it's usually not just one. It's thinking about the type of person using your product and the defining different things about that person to ensure that the choices you make with your product actually meet the needs of that person. So it can go deeper.
John, go ahead. Why this is important is because if you think of small group, you don't have small groups just for young adults. Right, your techie young adult. You have small groups for young adults. You have it for families with children. You have it for empty nesters, and you have it for seniors. So when we think of this, we're like, okay, the senior is gonna have to interact with this and it be useful for them just as much as the kid who's always on his phone who's 20. And so when we go for like a persona, we think about it in all of those different age groups and life stages. And age is only one part of the persona. It's not, we don't just go by age. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sorry, like this is fantastic. So going into that, I think a very important part, I already said redundancy, make it easier to get in. But even on our end, like something I'm constantly talking about with our church apps team is like, how can we make that bar even lower? Because you do have that 80-year-old. Mm-hmm. And like, I was in a group, I just started a new group recently, but the group before that, I was trying to get people into the church app, being able to chat, and it was an impossible barrier to get them in just because of their understanding of technology. Yeah. So how do you remove that barrier? And that's exactly, I understand what that persona is. Okay, this is an important persona to us, because usually a small group is going to have at least a quarter of the people at that age, unless it's a young adult small group, you need to be able to get them in. But either way, you can still remove that bar somewhat just by your placement of the groups within your app.
I know this isn't like a feature, but I think it's a core function. It needs to be easy, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of things that you can do, but it gets so complicated, nobody does the thing. And I think by tithely in general, we tend to think, okay, you don't have time. Like when we build software, we're like, we all have church backgrounds, which I love. Like John, you were a missionary over in China. I grew up in a pastor's home. I went to Bible college. Casey, you went to Bible college, worked at a church. And so we just get it. It's not like we're these professionals. We're like, okay, we came like, so, but so we also know church people are busy and they wear a lot of hats and they're the great church people are in it for discipleship, right? The great ones are just like, man, I want to go disciple. I want to go just spend time in the word, mentoring this person. So this guy can be a good husband and a good person at the work, or this woman, right, can be a great mom, a great light at her workplace. Right. And so the people in full-time ministry are like, man, I want to go do discipleship. I don't want to go be an app master. And so one of those things, when you're looking at an app, it might be able to do all the things you want to do, but it's so complicated and tedious to get there, you never end up doing it. Again, water tends to flow in the path of least resistance. And I kind of think about software this way. If it's too complicated, there's going to come a point you're going to stop doing the thing. And so when we build, this is just kind of Tidely's ethos in general, we build in a very simple, easy to use method. So if you haven't used apps, and I'm kind of shocked by this, John. Most of Tidely, we have tens of thousands of churches. Most of them haven't used apps. I don't understand why. But if you haven't used our apps, okay, and you start, I think you're going to be shocked by how simple it is to moderate the group, how simple it is to add people to the group, to update the group, to just the whole idea of managing the group right there. It's simple. It's easy. And which means you're going to keep doing it with excellence. And so just keep it simple.
And I think carrying on with that, like an important part of it is it's easy. Like some platforms will take it a step too far. They'll oversimplify. Okay, every single app looks the very same and only does these four things.
Good point.
And whereas you can also go the other direction and this is impossible to manage, and usually it goes between those two. And a focus, like since day one with the platform, because as I've said, I've gotten to be involved with this for quite a long time, is give you the flexibility to use the platform you want to, like how you want to use it. So it can be like, you can go deep down the rabbit hole of sermon series, adding bumper videos and doing things, but the platform doesn't push you to do that, right? The platform is like, hey, just integrate your feed from your website and it's just going to work. Hey, just set up a group chat and it'll just like Like, for the most part, you can set up one group if you want, and that could be what you work off of. And it could be as simple as you want it to be. So I love finding that middle ground where we're not limiting the church from doing things if they want to go overboard. But at the end of the day, it needs to be so simple for the church coming in. Because most churches, like you said, Dan, and this even goes back to earlier what we talked about, they want a disciple. They want to make people like Jesus because that's why we're here. And so let's let's make sure the number one thing we're doing is not blocking that.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. And maybe a question to kind of tie this together, like talking about product and church apps and some of the value that comes from the custom church app and that it could provide to churches and solve problems, and also kind of community groups and then intentional community. But there can be a lot of background administrative work. I'd love to like share my quick thoughts on this, but then I'll pose it to you guys as well, is when it comes to community groups, and maybe there's a church, it's like, hey, we just don't know what step to take to make this process better. And I'll quickly share my local church right now that community group sign up is a very manual process, meaning I'm talking pen and paper, that a couple of times a year, you go to the Connect Center, there's just like a bunch of pieces of paper and you just write down your name and your number. And then there's just so much work that goes into facilitating that, following up with people. People change their minds, but they can't go back to that physical piece of paper on a Monday. If they fill it on Sunday, they actually, I want to go to a Tuesday group instead of a Wednesday group, or vice versa. And there's all like multiple team members on staff, multiple hours spent just essentially administrating this very manual process. And so that's one, is that there's actually a pretty significant cost associated with that and just the hours of the staff. The other one is that it creates very few entry points to join a community group, because then really, unless people go way out of their way and kind of go and talk to a staff member and grab coffee, et cetera, the only way to join a community group is to be there on a Sunday where there's a piece of paper on a table. And so there's some limitations that come with that. And so one of my biggest encouragements for any church, and like I shared my experience of a previous church I worked at a few years ago and kind of creating their own app from scratch, but to do something to automate that, whether it is Tidely's custom app or just getting the community groups on your website, there probably would be, or it might feel like a lot of front work to do that, but the amount of time saving and ease of entry point for people to join a community group will be massive. And so for John and Dan, I'd love to get your guys' thoughts. Like, is there one element that as churches are like, hey, we want to optimize your community groups, we want to launch more, we maybe want to start community groups in a new season, a new semester, but man, the administration just feels overwhelming. Is there one element, one tool that you would suggest to kind of help overcome some of those barriers?
Man, Casey, you added in an administrator. Like, my mind with connection groups or community groups or cell groups or life groups is actually more the people running it. So this is an administrator. So I'm stepping away from this for a little bit, but just having been, I think as a church, find ways to disciple and grow the leaders of these groups. I think sometimes we're like, well, he's a good guy. He'll be a good host. They have a nice house, right? It's not gonna be awkward. And it's like, we kind of have these look good on the outside. Mm-hmm. Right. And I, again, having been in groups, I mean, they're, when you go to churches and you see guys and they're really like, right, they're good time. They can tell a good story and they kind of joke with everybody, but that spiritual leadership is not there. And as a church, you're kind of, well, maybe this might grow him. This is highly opinionated, highly biased, Dan, so you may disagree with me. This is like core ministry. This is like front line ministry. There's these people in your group as a leader that you are going to love on, disciple. And if you're not spiritually grounded, you are the blind leading the blind, right? So I think as a church, just find ways to keep a pulse on your group leaders. Find ways to, how are they doing? Right. And people go through seasons. We know this in the Christian life. There are times where you're on the mountaintop. There's times where you're just spiritually low, struggling with sin, not gaining victory. And those are times to pull them out, like pull that guy out for a little bit. It's okay. And, but find ways to disciple and grow your leaders, right? Just look for ways. And I don't think it's just a book or a conference. I think it's the staff really saying, hey, we're going to go through discipleship. Like, I know you're a leader. But we're going to get that one-on-one time. I need to know where you're at. I think the biggest mistake I've seen in churches is they take maybe an outgoing guy and someone who maybe on the outward looks good, right? It's a little bit of that Samuel and David's brothers, right? God looketh on, a man looketh on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. And the only way you're going to get to that heart is you sit down with them and say, hey, Joe, where you at? Mm-hmm. If Joe wants to talk about the ball game and wants to talk about work and no, Joe, where you at spiritually? How are you doing leading your wife? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take too quick where you can start getting underneath the surface. You're like, okay, Joe, we're going, because what happens when Joe's life starts falling, and we all know this, but it's just a reminder, I think the software is important and it's helpful, but just from a ministry basis, these are the leaders. These are the guys who are making a difference. And so we have to have intentional times as a disciple, not assuming, well, these are the leaders of the church. They're going to get it themselves, right? They'll figure it out. Well, sometimes, right? But sometimes a three chord, right, rope isn't easily undone. And that three quarters is the church. There's people coming around saying, hey, we're going to make you strong. And so I would just say, as you have community groups, which I love these groups, take time to disciple your leaders and scratch. How are you doing? Because I think Satan he'll literally get in the heart of these leaders. And then you see an entire group of people in the church who are not growing spiritually, who are not being matured, who are going sideways, right, in their Christian life because they don't have real leadership. And so I just have regular times where you can check in and just, how are you doing? Get the spiritual temperature and pulse of your group leaders. And I don't know if there's a software for that. I think that's just, hey, we're going to prioritize these people.
Yeah, I think that's like a great reminder of the pastoral care. Sorry, John, I interrupted you. Please, we'll love to hear your quick thoughts too.
Like real world example of that, of even like it not being a necessary spiritual falling away or anything like that. We had kids. My wife and I had kids. We now have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. There came a point where we were having our second kid, and I was like, dude, I need to stop this. I need to take a break. It's not even just life groups. I'm over volunteering right now. I need to just stop everything. And so, but what if I hadn't made that call? Like I would be bringing down a group of people because of that. So I had the mental fortitude to understand, hey, I need to do this. But like, you need to be checking in like, oh, they had a kid. Let's check in with them. Like there's these, like, I feel like these things, you know, to ask, but also, hey, John's kids are now 4 and 2. I should probably pull him out of that rut he's probably in, because he's now in the parent rut. And the same, our pastor did a great job coming back to me, and just, he wasn't trying to get me to over volunteer again. He was just like, hey, you ready for getting in a life group? And like, just talking with that. And like, it's cool because as we've talked, I've been seeing myself come out of all the ruts that I got into. And they were ruts I'd argue I had to get into. I didn't stop reading the Bible. I didn't stop praying. I didn't stop going to church. But I did stop volunteering. I did stop doing life groups because I was just in that season. So I think like making sure that you're looking at different life stages someone's in and checking, is this the right time for them to do this? And then also, is it the right time to get them back in? Because I think everyone gets into a rut. Like, you're going to get into the comfort zone. I think the most dangerous thing for our health, for our church, is the parent zone. Because you talk about the dad bod, right? That's because you get into this parent zone that has nothing to do with spiritual stuff, but it's going to happen on the spiritual front as well. You get the spiritual dad bod, and just a few conversations. I think most guys will come out of that, but you just need to challenge them and help them come back.
That's so good. And I love the concept. And I also love coining the phrase spiritual dad bod. I'm definitely going to use that. I'm definitely going to rip that off, John, and use it and make pretend it was my idea. Just kidding. I'll give you credit. But I think that's accurate, but also hilarious. I appreciate, John and Dan, your guys's thoughts and feedback, and those of you engaging with Tithely Backstage. This is our first episode. We're so excited. We're going to keep doing these, of course, regularly moving forward, is that we just want to provide content that is helpful for you, talking about all things product, all things churches. And so if you can engage with us, leave a comment, let us know maybe topics that you'd love us to cover, questions you have based off of this episode alone, or just other questions. And if we can engage with it, we absolutely will. So once again, thank you for joining us. If you're on YouTube, go ahead and like and follow this podcast. We'll be engaging more and more down the road. And if whatever your favorite platform you're listening to as well, again, please give us a follow. We very much appreciate it. Thank you again for joining in. We're signing off now from the Tithely Backstage podcast.